Pastor Craig, are you going to announce about just prayer for the shepherds and things? Are you going to announce that, or should I?
I don't know my prayer list for service.
Okay. Can I say something
Absolutely.
Real quick?
Yeah.
All right. I just needed to say something just because I've been very emotional. I've been crying a lot last night and this morning, and I'm really not. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, it's hard to focus on teaching and what I'm going to bring today because life happens sometimes. And so very quickly, I just want to share with you a story historically so you understand why I'm where I'm at. And then we're going to try to actually transition. But I'm actually doing that so that we can pray. And I'm going to ask you to sincerely pray about this. But my parents' best friends, perhaps you know them, Mike and Mandy Shepherd, sometimes they attend RVBC. When they're out here with my parents, they have two children. They have a son and they have a daughter. About 10 years ago, their daughter's husband died in a tragic boating accident in December of 2006. That was their son-in-law. Then their son, his wife died in 2012 from something else, but both young. Ryan was 30, Jen was in her early 40s. And then last night, Stacy, their only daughter, remarried. And last night, her second husband passed away from meningitis. And 48 hours ago, Mark was fine. And so Stacy was really good friends with Christy growing up, childhood friend. We grew up in the church together. And so anyway, I've been on the phone last night with my parents. I've been texting Mike Shepherd back and forth, and I texted Stacy this morning because it triggers a lot of memories of me flying back to California 10 years ago. Her husband, Ryan, was a very good friend of mine. And so anyway, to know someone who has lost, you know, Stacy has lost two husbands in less than 10 years, and she's got children. And so Stacy knows the Lord Jesus Christ. She has a very strong faith. I would say she has a very strong faith, but so I'm kind of struggling this morning. God is faithful, but what I would ask for is what Mike said to my mom this morning is, would you have River Valley Bible Church and those that you know pray? Because that is the thing that carried them through Ryan's death. Ryan was 30 when he left behind his wife and three children. And when I went to his funeral, there was about, I think they said around 2,000 people at his funeral. And the town that he comes from is about 7,000. Ryan was a youth pastor in the area, and God used his life in a very great way to bring him glory. But just to pray for this family. So her name is Stacy Waits. And I would ask you to pray just for strength and that the Lord in his sovereignty would use this in a way that would glorify his name. But just strength for Stacy as she is facing this second time in less than 10 years. Okay. I don't mean to get off on a very somber note here, but I think we can all agree, those of you who have lived longer than me, there are things in life that are very hard. But we have the Lord that we can go to, and he can give us strength in times that we feel like we don't have any strength. And so that's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to transition into our lesson today. But I would ask you to bow with me and that we can just pray for Stacy and her family. Let's pray. Father, I admit that I stand here. I'm still in shock, Lord. I know and I truly do believe that you're in control of all things. Lord, that you say that you've numbered our days. And sometimes, God, I look at people's lives and I think that their life was cut short. And I admit that I struggle with that at times, not understanding all of why you allow happen what happens in life. But God, it doesn't remove the fact that you're good. It doesn't remove the fact that you love us and that you care deeply about us. And you care about us, Lord, at our deepest point of pain. And God, there are some relationships in this life and there are things that can't touch the pain that's deep in our hearts. But God, you're an all-powerful God who can reach those depths. And I want to pray that for Stacy this morning. That maybe in her confusion, Lord, in her shock, that she still knows deeply, Lord, that you love her and that you will be there for her. Lord, there are no words sometimes that can rectify a situation or bring healing. But Lord, I do pray that your words would touch her spirit this morning, even now, and that you would strengthen her. Lord, that you would bring clarity in this time of confusion. Lord, that you would bring her church family around her to really rally and to offer their support. And Lord, I pray that we would pray. You help us to remember to pray for Stacy and for Mike and Mandy and for the family. And Lord, we just want to commit them to your care. God, thank you for loving us even in our deepest pain. Lord, give us faith. There are things that happen that can rock our faith. And Lord, we know it's our faith that pleases you. I pray that as we get into our Sunday school lesson, Lord, that although life can be very hard at times, I pray that even the hard things can help us to be stronger and not to run away from you, but to run to you. And so I pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts today and that we would be open to the things that you would have up for us today, and that we would listen and that we would apply those things. We want to pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. I actually feel better just even after praying. All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. And I'm sure that you, when you do your Bible readings, I'm sure you always love to go to Numbers, right? That's just one of the first books. It's, yeah, see? It's some people's favorite even. There's a kind of a common phrase I've heard a lot of people use. They say this. They say, I'm all in. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm all in? Anybody ever? Okay. What do you think, or if you've said it, or what does that mean to you? What does the phrase all in mean, Jeff?
Totally committed.
Totally committed. All right. Somebody else. All in.
Tired.
Have you got...
Tired?
I'm all in. You know, I think seasoned veterans of life may perspectively look at this differently. I would have never come up with that myself, Roger, but that's a good one. I like that. Tired. Now, that doesn't go along with my lesson, but when Roger's in the room, you never know where this is going. So, very good. Tired.
What was the verse in Numbers?
We'll be in Numbers chapter 14 and verses 20 through 38, hopefully. All in. All right. Totally committed. Yeah, anybody else? Christy? Okay, you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. All right.
Believing in the group together.
Believing in the group together.
Well, all in, isn't that a group of something?
It could be a group, yeah. Yeah, so like in sports, you're all in as a team.
I'm all in with my chips.
Okay, there. Here we are in Nevada, and we're all in with our chips. There we go. Yeah. All right, let's settle down, you guys. Let's settle down. Yeah. Okay. So even if things get tough, and maybe there's even some failure involved, you're not going backwards. You're going to just keep getting up and moving forward. Is that kind of correct? Okay. Very good. All right. All in. Okay. Very good. So here's your question in your notes there. It says, the question is this. Does God reward faith? Does God reward faith? Keep your thumbs in Numbers, but go in the back of your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, and I just want to look at this verse real quickly. But Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to kind of start off the lesson by answering this question in a way. But Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So it's impossible to please God without faith. And so maybe you've never looked at it this way, but there's really one of two ways you can look at it. You either have faith or you don't have faith. Let me ask you this. Can you have half faith?
No.
Is there such a thing as a quarter faith?
No.
There's no in between.
There's no in between. So you can't have 20% faith.
Both.
Okay. All right. So we're all agreeing that when you have faith, you might say that you're all in.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me there?
Yes.
Okay, you either believe or you don't. All right, very, very good. So just a little bit of a background. Does anybody know the background to Numbers 14, what's going on here? Now, I gave you an idea a few weeks ago of kind of our schedule. So has anybody read, kind of know what this week's about? Anybody at all? It's okay, I'm not going to give you an F if you have not done that. But anybody know what's going on in the story? Anybody know what's going on in this story as we come to Numbers chapter 14?
What's the story?
Well, I'm going to tell you if nobody tells me, but...
Well, there's no chapter 14.
In Numbers 14?
Oh, Numbers. Well, I was in Hebrews.
Uh-huh. Everybody hear that? No. Spies are sent out to go check out the promised land. Okay, good. Anything you want to add to that? That's good so far. Excellent. Okay, good. Yeah?
God's not going to allow the people to do
okay, so some people, they're in fear of the people that are inhabiting that land. And so they're like, I don't know if we want to really go there, right? Okay, it would be a majority, would you say, are in that group?
Of this group?
Yes.
Not a majority, it's everybody.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. Couple of them, yeah. Anybody else, the story? Okay, here it is. Yeah, the Jews, they're promised this land, but they need to go in and occupy it. And so they scouted it, and the general consensus was it's not happening because the inhabitants are large and it's not going to work out. And then the people complained, and they were longing to go back somewhere, to go backwards. Does anybody know where they wanted to go backwards to?
Egypt,
right? Okay, so we're not moving forward anymore. Okay, we're complaining and we want to go backwards. And so Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, in this chapter a little bit before where we're at, they confronted the people about their attitudes because they were complaining. And you have Moses, he prays for God's mercy. He prays for God's mercy on these people because of their attitudes. And the amazing thing about this, when right before you get to where we're at, God, what he does is he pardoned them. And yet he punishes them at the same time, meaning this, that generation that did not believe would not see that, but their children would see it. And so that's what's going on right here as we come into Numbers chapter 14. And we're going to pick up at verse 20, but let me read to you. We'll start in verse 18, okay? It says, The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. So this is part of his prayer right here. And so as we get into this morning, I've entitled this Caleb, Faith That Infuses Life. And here's the point as we get into this. When you think about pleasing the Lord, and it's your faith that pleases God, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've struggled in my faith at times. And one of the things that God uses in my life are other people who have faith in God. Now, I was going to say incredible faith, but they simply are all in by their faith. And when I hear of their stories, what that does is it infuses life into my own faith. And we're going to find that's exactly what happens with Caleb and the way that he exercises faith. His faith kind of infuses life into other people. Ever have that happen to you? Okay, let me give you an example. Stacy, who I prayed for this morning 10 years ago in December of 2006, when she lost her husband at 30 years of age, I watched her walk through this time. And then to go to the funeral in California to have her stand up as a 30-year-old widow and give a testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ and for her to explain what salvation in Christ alone means and to watch her walk with God all the way through, even marrying Mark and beyond. Many times God has used Stacy, and I've never really talked to Stacy about this, so many times where God used Stacy's life to infuse life and faith into me. That's what God does sometimes. You guys have a story, or just, you know, kind of quickly since I've spent some time already, but of someone who their faith has inspired you or infused life into you. Anyone, yeah.
Before I became a Christian, my best friend, she was a Christian, and I was with her alone in the doctor's office when they told her she had cancer. Mm-hmm. I cried. She says, it's okay. The Lord will take care of me. I'm like, what? I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. And she was a huge, she was in bringing me to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. And see, to me, that's a divine answer. Like, God was present in her and filling her. Because humanly speaking, that would bring a lot of fear, a lot of question. But in her answer, you can hear, at least I hear, God calming you through her. And she's literally being a conduit of God's grace. And so praise God for people like that. Not only do we know people like that, but here's the thing, you guys. Here's what I want you to think about is we want to have people like that in our lives, but we also want to be like that in other people's lives too, at times where God would use us in this way. All right? So as we come to this, I called on readers last week, and I kind of felt guilty all week about that. I just picked people without their permission. So I'll change it up this week only, and we'll see what happens next week. But could somebody read verses 20 and 21 as we continue on? Somebody be willing to read that. John.
So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Good. Perfect. Perfect. Verse 17, it says, but now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. And so this is, like I said, this is Moses praying on behalf of the people. In your notes there, under point one, the favor of faith, I want you to write this down and think about it. It's this: often the favor of faith, because we are, God gives us favor when we have faith, it can be linked to the power of someone praying for them. I want you to think about this. How many times, dozens of times by now in my life, especially as a pastor, I heard of people coming to me and saying, you know, I finally, I have received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And my mom or my dad or my grandma or this person have been praying for me for years. Anybody ever heard of something like that? Okay. They've been praying for them for years. There is a person I knew in Utah. He was praying for his spouse's salvation for over 40 years, because she was involved in a false religion. And she would go to her church, and he would go to his church. And he was an elder in this church. And for over 40 years, he prayed. And then, about 6 or 7 years ago, she received Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And I remember hearing the report from the pastor of watching this man who was an elder in his church walk into the church building that day with his wife, whom they had been praying for like 10 years. And what a joy that is. And for us to understand that as things happen in our lives where faith is infused in us, I believe that oftentimes we don't see it and we don't know it, but God is using people, he's prompting them to pray for us. You know, I missed this last Wednesday night, but I've been coming to prayer group on Wednesday nights, and we're praying for people's salvation. We're praying for people to be healed by God emotionally and physically. And as we pray, I'm assuming this for everybody in our circle, as we pray, that we are believing that God will answer according to his perfect will. It may or may not be in the way that the thing that we're praying for, but yet we're praying. So here's a question for you. Do you guys agree with me when I say that oftentimes when we are growing in our faith, or when somebody comes to salvation, that kind of faith, so it's either a salvation issue or a sanctification issue, that someone is praying? Anybody have a story about that, something they want to share, they want to agree, they want to disagree? Am I scaring all of you this morning? Pastor Craig.
Can I just share real quick?
Yeah.
Brother prayed for Janine and I in our salvation for 10 years.
Wow.
He was down in Phoenix, And after we trusted Christ, this was the first time we'd gone to visit him and actually went to church that Sunday. As we walked in the door, it was like everybody knew us.
Hmm.
Oh, you're Craig and
Denise. That's so neat.
We see it in this church. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, so something to think about. It takes faith to pray, okay? And as we're praying by faith and believing God this way, God will infuse faith into the prayer-er, you might say. And then oftentimes what God does, however this happens, he, and this is the best way I can describe it to you, I believe that he imparts faith as well. So it activates things. So we live out faith that infuses life and faith into other people. And God, by his Spirit, however this happens, because I'm not God, he uses that faith because he's pleased by that faith to advance his kingdom and his will. Now, you're going to ask me, so can you explain all that? And my answer is, no, I can't. But I believe, I truly believe in my heart, that's exactly how it works. But as we come to this story, I want you to understand that Moses went to God on behalf of these complaining people, and he pleaded the mercy of God. And it's a fresh reminder that if we say that we are people of faith, that we are a faith-praying people who plead the mercy of God on behalf of others who don't know God, on behalf of others who do know God. And so I want to challenge you personally this morning. Moses was a servant leader of the people. But I think that we all, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. You guys, part of spending your time here on earth should be spending time in prayer. Because what that does is it demonstrates faith to God and it activates things that are in the spiritual realm that we have no control over, but we can be a part of. I watched a video this morning on Facebook. I don't hang out on Facebook a lot. Trust me, I don't. But because of what's going on with Stacy, I'm trying to figure out some things. There's a video. It was about a five-minute video. It was a young guy, and he was talking about there was a study done where they interviewed 100 elderly people on their deathbed. And this was the question. The question was this: what in your life do you regret? If you can look over the span of your life, what do you regret? And 100% of them said they regret things like not taking more risks. You know, all these things came out. And I thought to myself, by the end of my life, whenever that is, I don't want to have the regret of not being involved in my faith in a way where I'm pleading with God and I'm praying to God, where I'm spending that kind of time. We all talk about quality time. Let me challenge you this morning that as you look over the span of your week, how are you spending it? Because I can tell you this much. If you are serious about praying, I believe in my heart that God's not going to look at that as wasted time. He's going to look at that as a person who is engaged in faith. And what you're going to find is you're going to find God's favor. Now, I'm saying that from an American perspective, favor. But let's not think like an American, okay? Let's remove ourselves. Because oftentimes in the American church, favor means what? What kind of blessings, though?
Material.
Money. And everything's good all the time. And, okay, but I'll tell you what, the persecuted church around the world, and we're going to have a Sunday coming up, right, Jeff, where we're going to look at the persecuted church to inform you about what's going on. Many of those that are being persecuted for their faith are some of the most joy-filled believers in all of the world. And yet they're losing their lives because of their faith in Jesus Christ. How's that possible? Well, it's their faith. And so prayer, I'm just saying to you, prayer is a part of faith and infusing life into your own life and into the lives of others. All right, verses 22 and 23. Would somebody else be willing to read 22 and 23? Yeah, Andrew. Okay, wow. So here's number two in your notes under point one is this. God will provide ample opportunity for people to have faith in him, since he wants none to perish. And you're like, does that have to do with salvation? Well, according to these verses right here, it says, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs. So God had been showing himself to them in Egypt. On their way out of Egypt, did God show up in a pretty miraculous way as they're trying to leave?
Yeah,
I'd say, you know, you don't always see things part like that, okay? So he's showing his glory. And yet it says, have put me to the test these 10 times. You ever think to yourself, does God count how many times I sin? Does God count how many times I don't exercise my faith? When I read that this last week, I actually got a little scared. Because in my mind, I'm thinking God does know all things. And so he can choose not to actually hold it against me, which I believe he does. But if I were to ask God, so how many times? That's frightening, because God probably knows the answer. Yeah, he does know the answer, right? So I'm not going to ask that, because he doesn't hold it against me, right? It's God's grace. But here's something to think about. The people had seen his glory. They had seen these signs in Egypt. They had seen it on their way out. And yet, it says 10 times in there. And last week, whether you remember or not, we talked a little bit about the patience of God. And 1 John talks about how God is love. And then Corinthians talks about how love is patient. And so God really is the definition of patience. And he was giving them opportunity after opportunity to act in faith. And instead, they would complain. That's what would happen. They would complain and God would give them more opportunities. And here's what I'd like to say about that. I think it's a great reminder that when we, maybe I'll point to me, that when I feel like complaining or grumbling against God about something, to remember that there have perhaps been more than 10 times where God's been very gracious about something. He's been working with me. He's been working on me. He's been issuing his grace, and I just won't activate faith. I just won't listen. I just won't trust him. And so the circumstances kind of come to a place where all of a sudden I have an attitude problem. Now, thankfully, you guys probably never have attitude problems. Guess what? My sister, Christy, right here. You probably don't know this. This is my sister, Christy. Unfortunately, she did grow up with me. And she's probably got lots of stories, but she's very gracious about my bad attitude through the years. I know Carissa would definitely love to tell stories about my bad attitude through the years. But here's the thing. What I want you to understand, according to this, I believe, consequences are often linked to not choosing to believe God. Consequences. And they play out. And God allows them to play out, not to punish us in a cruel way, but to bring us to a place where we truly believe. And that's what he wants for these people. He's pardoning, but he's also punishing, because not everyone will be punished. It says in verse 23, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. There's consequences. Remember, the majority said, we don't want to go. We know God promised, but we're not going. Well, there was a few people who said, no, I think that we should. And verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb. We're going to get to Caleb in just a minute. Transition right there. So, verse 24, I don't want to read all of it. I want to give somebody else an opportunity. Would somebody read verse 24 for me and 25? Yeah.
But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
Okay. Verse 24 is so pivotal, you guys. This is an incredible verse about how God is describing Caleb as a person. The favor of faith, when you want God's favor and you are believing God, I want you to notice these three things that he says about him. Number one, he says that person pursues God through submission. They are wholly submitted to God. The term right there, it says, but my servant Caleb knows he's not in charge. Caleb understands his role. And so Caleb was submitting to what God said. God said what? I promise you this land. That means if God said it, it's going to happen. We may not know when. We may not know how. So they go check it out. There's all these big bullies hanging out. They don't want to go, most of them. And Caleb says, well, what does that matter? God promised it to us. I say we go. And he was very much all alone. Number two, the favor of faith rests upon the person who, B, maintains a biblical perspective. Very, very important. It says this in the verse. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit. Mark it in your verses. In your verse there. He has a different spirit. This is what set Caleb apart from millions of Israelites. He had a different spirit. And I read this by Don Fortner. I really like what he said. He said this. He, speaking of Caleb, had a believing spirit because he believed in the word of God. He had a meek spirit because he recognized who and what he was before God. He had a brave spirit because he was courageous. He had a loving spirit because he wanted God's promise for his people. He had a zealous spirit because he was committed to God. He had a heavenly spirit because he lived on earth with his heart in heaven. I mean, this guy's spirit was absolutely different because it was completely submitted and believing the word of God. And it stood out. Okay? Number three in your notes, the favor of faith rests upon the person who gives God 100%. Notice that term in there. It says, and has followed me what? Fully. Today's vernacular, followed me all in. He's all in. Even if Caleb is by himself, he's all in. And let me encourage you in something. There will be moments in your lifetime where you believe God and you are all in and you are all alone. You're all alone. Guess what? There are people in the body of Christ who are not all in with you, who are giving you different advice. There are people who you thought would always support you in anything, in everything. They're not all in. They don't believe. There are going to be moments where your faith is, I would say, severely tested. But God, who has perhaps spoken to you, has something different for you. But he filled his mind with God's word, and he believed God's word. He obeyed God's word. Now, here's something kind of funny. Does anybody know what Caleb, what that means? So in the Hebrew, the first part of his name, it actually means dog. I was like, that's not cool. And so then I started reading culturally what that, it was actually a high compliment for that culture. And that's because of this. Dogs are considered man's best friend. What does that have to do with? It has to do with loyalty. That has to do with commitment. I've seen dog owners be mad at their dogs and kick them out of anger and seen that dog come back for love.
Yes.
Over and over again. I've watched cops and stuff happen with owners that I think are horrific, and that dog is completely loyal. And so the first part of Caleb's name in Hebrew means dog, and I think that's what that has to do with. It's not an insult at all. It's actually very much a compliment. And when I think of churches and their mission statements, a lot of times they'll say things like this. Making fully devoted followers of Christ. Anybody ever heard that before? Fully devoted followers of Christ. That was Caleb. And the second half of his name actually means heart. So he was a heart that was absolutely, completely loyal, and you see that played out right in the story. Because mainly everybody said, no way. And Caleb steps up and says, yeah, way. We got to go in. It's God's promise. Very, very interesting. All right, in your notes there I have this. The favor of faith is found in the experience of God's promises. The favor of faith is found in the promises of God. When you believe in the promises of God, you're going to watch God do some amazing things because he's pleased with your faith. All right, I'm certainly running out of time, and I apologize for that, but we'll try to get through this because I know a lot of you are like, let's get through that lesson. So very quickly. Wow. I love it when classes learn. This is phenomenal. All right. Just suffice it to say, I'll let you read this in your own time so we can get through some of this information. I want to give this to you. But there are some consequences, and here they are. Number one in your notes, there was a physical consequence. There was a physical consequence. Number two, there was an emotional consequence. There was an emotional consequence because those that didn't believe, who spurned God, who did not activate their faith, they would not see it, but their children would. Can you imagine understanding, living, that your children would see a promise that you would never get to see? That's, emotionally, that would be very difficult. Emotionally. Thirdly, there was a generational consequence. There was a generational consequence. And then fourthly, there was a spiritual consequence. At the end of the verses, it says, "And you shall know my opposition." That's what God says to them. You shall know my opposition. That's frightening, really. That's frightening. But verse 38, we're gonna wrap up on a good note. Praise the Lord. Can somebody read verse 38? Reader for 38. Yeah, Lauren. However you want to. Yep.
Which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still.
Okay. In my version it says, remained alive. Remained alive. Okay. Four things. The benefits of belief that are the exact opposite of the consequences. Notice this. Number one, there was a physical blessing. Remained alive. There was no death. Those that believed God, they were going to live to see this promise play out. Now, I'm not saying they weren't going to die at all, but there was a physical blessing there. Number two, there was an emotional blessing. There was an emotional blessing in this. Those that would see it, they would reap the benefits of their faith and there wouldn't be guilt there. For those that spurned God, can you imagine the guilt that would be there? You know the consequences. You're living out the consequences. And I don't know about you, but I have to deal with guilt at times. It stinks. Anybody love dealing with guilt? I didn't think there would be one hand raised here, all right? There was a generational blessing. No suffering from that generation as they get into the land. In fact, they were promised to know the land. In verse 31, it says, "I will bring them in and they shall know the land which you have rejected." That generation would know the land. There's a generational blessing. And then, fourthly and lastly, there was a spiritual blessing. Verse 34 says this, "According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you shall know my opposition." Well, there was a spiritual blessing in those that would inherit that land and see that land and know that land. They wouldn't have opposition in that way, in this form, with this consequence. And what all this reminds me of is Matthew 22. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to wrap up in a couple minutes here. I want us to go to Matthew 22, and I want you to look at a modern day Jesus all in verse. You ready for it? Matthew 22 and verses 37 through 39. Or maybe we can go 40, why not? 22, 37 through 40. It's a long one. God's all in on these verses, though. Somebody like to read?
Christine. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Very good. And when I read those verses in relationship to this story about Caleb and what he did and how he exercised his faith, I see Caleb in those verses right there. Because oftentimes, in my experience, when you are believing God for something, sometimes, quite frankly, you do stand alone. There are moments as you walk that you feel alone. Now, you may not be alone. There may be other people praying for you that you don't know about. Other people may offer encouragement or advice at times, but sometimes along the way, you feel very much alone. And there comes a point at which you express your faith in some form or fashion. So in conclusion and application, three things I want you to think about. Three things. Number one, be warned. Faith in God can strike fear in some people. You step out by faith and you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to share this with my friends who go to church with me. And then you share it and they're like, what are you doing? And you're like, that's not the reaction I was looking for. Right? I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I've felt very confidently that God is leading me a certain way, and I'm so excited to share it with somebody, and I go and share it, and it's like, and I walk away and think, really? God accepted Caleb's faith, and Israel rejected his faith in believing in that promise of God. And you can't always use the acceptance of people as the litmus test in following God. So what I mean by that is sometimes it's going to strike deep fear in people. And you can't say, well, the way that God's going to confirm this is by everybody's going to agree with this. In fact, sometimes maybe most people won't agree with it. And maybe what God's actually trying to tell you is trust me instead of trusting people. Because that's what we're supposed to do anyway. Even very well-meaning, loving people who love Jesus people. Because here's the thing, if God's calling you to do something, he may not be calling them to do it. So that doesn't mean that you don't do it. So, and the reason I say that, you guys, is 20 years ago when I felt called to Utah to go plant a church 6 miles south of BYU, most people said don't do it. In fact, this is the town that I went to, they called it the missionary graveyard because so many evangelical churches had closed. And I had very well-meaning, loving Jesus people in my life who had a very influential role in me, even in my own mission, who questioned the exact town that we had staked out to go to. And if I had followed their advice, I'm not meaning anything bad against them, I love them and respect them dearly, but I had to, against everything in my being, go, oh, I love this person so much and respect them, but I got to step out and do what I believe God wants me to do. It was scary because I so desperately wanted one person in particular, blessing? Yeah. Please bless me, please. And he said, I'll support you, but I think you should go somewhere else. That was tough. Thankfully, later on, he said, all right, you're right. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm young and dumb, but every once in a while, I get it right. All right. Number two, be watchful. Fear can lead to fretting with some people. You see, when you exercise faith and all of a sudden they're afraid, then what happens often when we're afraid is we start complaining. And we start criticizing. And we start saying and doing things we shouldn't. Okay? And lastly, number three, be encouraged. Faith in God can lead to favor with some people because when you exercise faith and God is pleased, His favor rests on us. All right? Okay, second service is coming. Hope you're ready for the word with Pastor Craig. My daughter on Friday night, she severely fractured her wrist. And it's been kind of a crazy weekend. And so I would ask in your prayer time, I'm sure Pastor Craig's been praying too, that you pray for Riley. So my family's kind of back and forth this morning. And she's just really swelled up and in a lot of pain. But, you know, overall she's doing good because she's young and 16. So I'm going to end our time in prayer and just pray for Riley. And guys, have a great day today. Father, thank you so much that, Lord, we know that we struggle in faith. And God, we thank you for the faith that you've infused into our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us on the cross. And God, we know, according to your word, that it's impossible to please you without faith. And God, we want to be all in kind of people. We don't want to just say that we believe in you. We want to believe in you in a way that our lives change. Kind of demonstrates that we really do believe. And I pray, Lord, for River Valley Bible Church, those that attend, that we don't just attend, but Lord, that when we come, we worship, we engage, and Lord, as we leave, that we change, and that we demonstrate change, because you're working and you're active in our life, and our faith is being activated too. So Lord, help us to love you, help us to love other people. Lord, we call upon you now as the God of who's great with power, Lord, that you would help the hurting. We think of Stacy again this morning. We think of Riley, that you would heal hearts, Lord, and heal broken bones. for you are the God that heals, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you guys.